Our text tonight is in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." And I'm picking this text because we've been looking for a number of weeks now at verses in the New Testament which speak to Christians and the Christian life as a life that involves one another. And those two words, one another, appear many, many times on the pages of the New Testament. I called to see Daniel this last week, and his daughter had written out some of the one another texts that she was keen to show me. Look how many times, one another, those words are found in the New Testament. And of course, the one another passages then, they teach us what God means our relationship to be with one another as his people, as his children. And what we find is that the texts are challenging and demanding and convicting and encouraging as we read them together. When you become a Christian, you become part of a new family. The family of God. Children of God. That you've been born again, born from above and brought out of natural rebellion against God into the family of God by new birth and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the family of God, believers, are joined together in this new family. Adopted into the family of God. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Have you been adopted into God's family? If you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You have a new relationship with God now, through Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So if you're a believer tonight, God has brought you into this new family where you have brothers and sisters, not by natural, but by new birth through the work of the Holy Spirit. So then the Bible works out in these one another texts what that means, how we live together as the people of God. And the Bible is not saying you treat fellow Christians as if they were brothers and sisters. The Bible is saying you treat them as brothers and sisters because they really are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So that relationship is not optional. No, you can't maintain a living relationship with Jesus Christ without bearing in mind that that relationship has this horizontal dimension to it as well. One another. Now, without a relationship with Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior tonight, then you need to seek him and call upon him that he might cleanse you and forgive you and bring you into this new family of God. But then once you're in that family by faith, there are these one another texts in the Bible. And in Romans 16, we find another here, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. If the most common command in the New Testament, one another, is love one another. The second most common command in the New Testament is greet one another. So the first question I want to ask is this. Is this really something that the church should be doing today? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, the greet there is in the form of a command. Receive joyfully. Welcome. Greet. And it's not just some obscure, insignificant thing. Five times this is repeated in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16, greet one another with a holy kiss, all the brethren greet you. 2 Corinthians 13, greet one another with a holy kiss, all the saints greet you. 1 Thessalonians 5, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5, greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, it may be that there is a cultural dimension to this, and we will think about that in a moment. But the principle of greeting one another doesn't allow us to say, well, that's just the culture of the New Testament. I don't like this idea, so I'm not going to do it. Now, while there may be a cultural dimension to it, we have to think, what does it mean to us and how are we going to put it into practice in the life of the church? From time to time, every couple of years, I go to Lokichokyo in Kenya and teach there those who are preparing for the ministry. Some people already in preachers in churches in the ministry, some of them preaching to very large congregations, thousands of people. Their practice in the church on a Sunday is that when I go to the door here and shake people's hands on the way out, that the next person who comes through the door shakes my hand and then will stand alongside me. And then the next person comes, shakes my hand and the hand of the person alongside me, and then they stand alongside that person, and then there's three hands to be shaken. And so it goes on. The lineup outside builds up and up and up, and the lineup inside the church gets shorter and shorter, so everybody shakes hands with everybody before they go home. Now, why do they do that? Again, is that just the culture of Kenya? Well, no, I think it's because they're trying to put this verse into practice in their setting. Greet one another. So it is something the church should be doing and should be thinking about today. The second question we can ask is, where does this custom of greeting friends with a kiss come from? Well, it goes back into the early books of the Bible. When Laban greeted Jacob with a kiss in Genesis 29, that showed acceptance and it showed welcome. When Esau kissed Jacob when they met, that showed reconciliation and a feud coming to an end. When David and Jonathan kissed when they parted, it was a greeting between two men who were very close to one another. There was nothing sexual about it, but it was a sign of deep friendship. We hear of the Lord Jesus in Luke 7. Jesus rebuked Simon for not giving him a kiss. We're coming up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. One of the most famous, we might say infamous, kisses in history was the kiss given to Jesus by Judas. And because the kiss was supposed to be a sign of acceptance and friendship, using it for betrayal, there was something deeply disturbing. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, says the Bible. Judas betrayed the Lord with a kiss. So yes, this is a custom that the people to whom Paul was writing would have been aware of all this background and history. Let's ask another question. How did this holy kiss become part of Christian greeting? Well, McClintock and Strong in their Encyclopedia of Biblical Theology would say, the practice of the holy kiss was kept up for centuries, especially in connection with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. It was regarded as a token of reconciliation and concord, peace, harmony among members of the church, and was called the peace or the kiss of peace. Or the Zondervan Encyclopedia of the Bible says, there were times when particularly this was practiced in the early church. When people were baptized, new converts were kissed at baptism. That'd be an interesting thing, wouldn't it? To think about if you were kissed at baptism, might put you off getting baptized, mightn't it? candidates for ordination. I wonder how seminary students would Chris's eyebrows just shot up then. they were kissed, apparently. Most commonly at the Lord's Supper. So Justin Martyr, writing early on in the life of the Christian church, he describes Christian worship. He says, when the prayers are concluded, we exchange the kiss. Then someone brings bread and a cup of water and wine mixed together to the one who presides over the brethren. Some people have conjectured, does the practice, the custom of a couple kissing at the end of a marriage ceremony, does it have an echo back? That's a custom we are familiar with. It's still in the UK, you may now kiss the bride. Usually we say that. Does it come, does it have its origins back in what Paul is describing here? Well, it may well do. So let's ask another question. Since it was part of Christian worship for so long then, why don't we practice the kiss now? We don't normally, in our British church culture, kiss one another. So why not? Well, we have to think about it because there is a difference between the circumstances of a command and the principle of a command. The circumstances and the principle. The circumstances, like this circumstance here, greet one another with a holy kiss. The circumstances, if I can put it like this, are like the vessel in which the command is being passed along. What we have to get at is, what is the essence of the command? What is Paul getting at here? Something that applies to all of us tonight, in all places, in all cultures, at all times. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In John chapter 13 and verses 1 to 20, we have the account of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Jesus with the disciples were going to observe the feast of the Passover. In modern Judaism, tomorrow night, in this area and in many other Jewish areas in the UK, Jewish people will be observing the Passover, and some of them again on Tuesday night. And if you're able to come along on Thursday and you want to have some insight into that, I'm sure David will help us to understand something of some of the ways in which that celebration of the Passover can instruct us and help us to think about what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples, and which now in the New Testament has transitioned over into the Lord's Supper. So there was Jesus with the disciples washing their feet. And Jesus, you remember, insisted that all the disciples allow him to wash their feet. And Jesus said to them, for I gave you an example, that you also should do as I do to you. Now, have we ever had a ceremony here where the leaders of the church wash people's feet? You say no? So why not? You'll be aware that there are some churches in some parts of the world that do have foot washing ceremonies. So why don't we do that? Well, again, it's this difference between the circumstances and the essence of a command. The essence of the command was not about washing feet. That was to do with the circumstances of the day, people with sandals walking the dirty, dusty streets. The practice commonly when you entered people's house was the servant would wash the feet because they would be dirty and needed washing. What was the essence? What was Jesus getting at? What was he teaching the disciples? He was instructing them to be humble, to be servant-hearted toward one another. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, and yet because he was the servant king, he showed them what that meant in the circumstances of washing feet. The washing of the feet was the circumstances in which the essence of the command, servant-heartedness, humility as the child of God, was worked out. The holy kiss, if I can put it like this then, is the circumstance of a command. The Apostle Paul here is not instituting a new ordinance in the church. You're going to sin tonight if you don't kiss everyone here before you go home. That's not what he was talking about. But the essence of the command is greet one another. Make sure that you build on this one another principle in the life of the church, that you have ties that bind you with other Christians by greeting one another. Now we have to squarely face the charge tonight that some would level against us, that sort of evangelical Christian interpretation is perhaps elitist. Some would say we don't have much confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit, and so we are timid about this command, kiss one another. If I was to put it vividly, I would say the charge is we divide people up into the washed and the unwashed, and that a group like ours tends to go for the washed. But I'm saying that every true gospel church, everybody, this involves the whole life of the body of Christ, greet one another, the washed and the unwashed. The unwashed, I'm not talking about literally now, you understand. I'm talking about people who might think are on the fringe, on the margins, people who are not like us. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Greet one another. Greet them all. Greet washed and unwashed, those who are like you and those who are unlike you. I was talking this last week with John Benton, who has started a ministry here in the seminary where he's supporting pastors who are going through times of difficulty. And I was here for other reasons, but happened to be here at lunchtime, I was talking with him. And he was saying to me that there was an older couple recently who've started attending the church where he was the pastor down in Guildford. Why did they start to attend? Well, because they went to a church meal occasion, a bit like we have meals together on the first Sunday morning of the month. And on that particular Sunday, what happened was that some of the young people in the church decided that they were going to serve and make sure that the older people in the church had food presented to them and taken to them by the young people of the church. John Benton said to me, the man nearly cried, he said. I've not seen young people behaving like this, he said. You see, it was across the generations, wasn't it? We are living at a time where we would think, oh, young people keep to themselves, older people keep to themselves. There's not much intergenerational connection. Members one of another. A Christian young in age, an older Christian. Greet one another. Serve one another. Love one another. Let someone like this man see. There is something different about this, which is not natural. This is something supernatural, something that God does. It made such an impact on this man. He said, I wanted to find out what causes people to serve, to act, to love like this. So I don't just get so hung up on the kissing part of this text that we miss the essence of what it's saying. The essence is all Christians greet one another. Now in the text here, and I read to you a long list of names, there's actually something quite significant about these names. Because some of them are the names that you would generally find in the hierarchy of Roman society. And some of them are names that you would generally find amongst the slaves in Roman society. So here's someone who's been a slave or who is a slave. And here's a man who is rich from the nobility. And Paul says, you rich nobleman, you make sure that you greet that lowly slave. Greet one another. Here, greet one another with a holy kiss. Not just noblemen, those who are rich like you, from a noble family like you, who have the same circumstances and background as you, but a slave, perhaps from a different country, from a totally different background, and certainly socially, has got nothing in common with that nobleman. But now you are members one of another. You're in the same family. You belong to Jesus Christ by faith. He's made you brothers. Greet one another. So that's more than just a lifeless handshake. It's more than just hi. It involves relationship. It involves time. It involves greeting one another in a personal way. The emphasis is on building an interpersonal relationship. That's the way we would put it today. Every Christian, greet every Christian. Don't make distinctions. This is a great unifier then for the people of God. Don't leave anybody out. Imagine the Jewish Christian kissing the Gentile Christian. Imagine that rich nobleman kissing that Hebrew slave. So, Christian, the apostle is saying, look around for those you don't know and make sure you greet them. This greeting, you see, is a spiritual activity. To greet a fellow Christian is important, and as you do so, learn to rely upon the Holy Spirit's help and strength and direction. That even as you're greeting one another, that the Holy Spirit can guide you and help you. That you may be the person who God will use to open a door into someone's heart and life by which the Holy Spirit can work and minister and move. There's a preacher called Fraser Tallack, and he says that he remembers a story being told of two yachts racing one another in the open sea. And on the yacht, one skipper spied that in a certain area, the wind was ruffling the waves of the sea. So he maneuvered his yacht towards where the wind was ruffling the sea, opened up the sails. The wind took his yacht, it sped along. We must have that wind in our sails, the wind of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to make progress in this area amongst ourselves as the people of God, it will be by the work of the Holy Spirit. And even when we're greeting people, sometimes someone particularly shakes your hand, you realize there's a particular need here. Let's go and talk. Someone who's not a Christian comes and you sense there is a particular need at that time. Might be even a tear in that person's eye. Be open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, even as we are greeting one another. On another occasion, one of the Tallack brothers, John Tallack, was having hospitality with two sisters. They were called the Miss Black sisters. Their surname, both of them, was Black. And after lunch, when he was having hospitality with them, he went into a room and fell asleep. And the time for the evening service came, And the two sisters were getting a bit worried because the time for the service was getting nearer and nearer. And they couldn't hear any sound at all, no movement from within the bedroom. So in the end, they got anxious and they knocked on the door and woke him up and said, "Look, you've seen the time. Soon it'll be time for the evening service." And as he got up, he heard the two sisters as they were going downstairs, one saying to the other, "We didn't want to disturb him." And the other one says, "But it was disturbing. He needed." He needed to be woken up. Now, sometimes it's even like that with Christians, isn't it? Sometimes even in greeting one another. There are times when a Christian needs disturbing. That through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we can awaken someone out of spiritual lethargy or backsliding or sleep. Draw them by the work of the Holy Spirit closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the essence of the command, greet